Broadcasting live from the beautiful Sheraton Imperial Hotel in Durham, North Carolina, it's the North Carolina Technology Association's State of Technology Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Wow, we must be winding down on this show.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're doing the exit music before the startup music.
That's really good.
That was good.
Sounds a lot like the... I was on Korean Airlines recently, and that sounds sort of like their startup music for business class.
Ah, so it's that help you calm down and go to sleep music.
Or just get excited. We're about to take off. Maybe we won't crash.
Oh, man. This is our last interview of this conference, and it's a
kinda
great
sad. It's
interview.
Almost over.
It's almost over.
So you saved the best for last.
Exactly. I'm Ann Revelle Petcher. I have a co-host today by the name of Michael Lauer down there at the end.
How's it going, Ann?
It's winding down.
I know.
And we get to,
but we're ending with a bang here.
Yeah, we get to interview a friend of mine. And I'm so excited about this because this is
who's your
this
friend?
Guy's a, this is this guy's a fabulous journalist and blogger, but he's a fabulous business owner of a company called Open Software Integrators, or OSI. Andrew Oliver, welcome to the station.
Thank you, Ann. It's a pleasure as always.
It's so great to have you back. So tell the audience for us, Open Software Integrators. What do you guys do?
That's a good question. Let me let me phone a friend. We focus mainly on big data and NoSQL solutions. So mainly on stuff like Hadoop, MongoDB, and stuff like that. We came from a high-end sort of enterprise and internet scalability background. So the company has a client base that's focused in finance, healthcare. The gaming industry, and this, you know, I didn't go out and say, oh, I want to focus on these diverse industries. It was just sort of what came to us first for the kinds of technical solutions that we offer. So a lot of companies looking at big data, looking at how they answer the questions they've never been able to answer, and pulling those things together into a solution. They're looking at Hadoop because they read about it in Harvard Business Review or wherever and saying, oh, can that finally answer the question, you know, what's going to happen to my sales when the weather's bad or what have you? Can that finally answer those hard questions? Can I finally get the data where I need it, when I need it? And so so that's a lot what we do is help them find those solutions.
Wow. So a finance company comes to you and says, we need some help. What kinds of projects might you be doing for them? What might you actually put together? What's it look like at the end?
So we have, like, you know, for instance, a derivatives trader in Chicago, and it's a whole platform for how to trade, how to do derivatives. Before we got involved, they did a lot more, you know, manually with spreadsheets and what have you. And now it's, you know, a computerized system, and a lot of it's moving to mobile.
Okay.
A lot of it is going throughout the organization and going beyond data warehousing. Because think of this. There are internet companies out there that have been in, you know, in the web business since like 1996 or 1995 mm-hmm. or whenever.
Sure, yeah.
What have they done with their access logs in all of that time? Ran out of space and they purged them.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
oh, no.
You're in marketing.
Yeah.
Nowadays, would you let me purge data about how people use my website
over my dead body?
Ever? Right?
Right?
But there's a
no
lot
way.
Of data like that where until recently, data was useless until proven useful.
Right.
Now, we have the technology, storage is cheap,
right.
Computing is cheap enough to where we can actually make data useful until proven useless. So innocent until proven guilty.
That's very interesting.
Rather than deleting it, which is like execution in the data world, rather than deleting it or putting it on tape storage, which no one ever restores, we can actually keep that around, keep it at your fingertips, and turn analytics and what have you on it just when someone comes up with the right question. Now, part of what we do is help you find those right questions.
Well, so what kind of questions are you asking these days?
So they're very industry specific
in a
lot of cases. So, you know, without getting getting too specific and getting myself in trouble, some of these are taking common sort of cases. So there's a lot of what they call click streams, and I hate that word because on my mobile device I don't have a click stream.
Yeah, exactly.
How do actual users use our application?
Okay.
What features should we invest in? What features should we divest in? What should we tell them? So there's sort of this overall gamification of business.
Yeah.
Which is, that is really awesome.
How do people use my app and access my information?
Yeah, so how do they use it? And what should we push on you? So great, you're going, you know, I was on this business analytics panel. You're going and you're seeing sales for the last month for the Southeast thing. Well, you're obviously not going there because you think the graph is pretty. You're going there because there's something you're after. So when you go there and you look at that, you're after something. Now, why don't we just sort of serve that up to you? Like right now on my phone, you know, it tells me that how long it's going to take to, okay, it already thinks I'm going to Bonds, which isn't until Saturday, but it tells me how long it's going to take to go home,
right?
Based on my previous patterns, based on what I normally do next.
Yeah, that's always a very interesting thing for my phone to tell me where it thinks I might go next. It's always weird to me.
And a lot of times it's right. And sometimes it's comical, but a lot of times it's right. And you're like, oh, well, I'm glad it told me it's going to take me an extra 2 minutes to get to work based on traffic patterns, you know, and what have you.
You have to wonder, though, if, like, from a privacy perspective, I can just, like, for example, something came up the other day, and I was just like, oh, some, you know, XY, you're 27 minutes away from XYZ sex club or something. I was like, whoa! And it turns out it's, like, only a couple doors down from a place I actually do go, but it can recognize something.
That must be like, my office. No, seriously, The our office has a Main Street address, but the only business that has a address into our parking lot is a gentleman's club. So it thinks
so
I go there
you.
A lot.
Yeah, so and weird.
That could
stuff.
Get you in trouble with a certain somebody.
Exactly. Weird stuff.
So, but you know, that's a big kind of thing on the consumer space. But I think when you go into business, you sort of realize what information is it that you're trying to keep private from whom? And you realize that, well, the government and your ISP already have all your data and,
right.
you know, you have no privacy from them anyway, right. As we've all found out. But on the business side, saying, oh, you know what? Bobby Joe's Muffler Corporation, I don't know why we're getting automotive, but Bobby Joe's Muffler Corporation, you haven't visited them in, you know, 2 months. They usually buy within a week after you visit. You're $1,000 short of your quota. Their buy is normally $5,000. Why don't you go there?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you want your
you
devices?
You want to do my work for me.
Yeah, but so you could figure that out by going and looking at the CRM and looking at your business analytics and all this kind of stuff and then think about what to do. Or you could have some machine learning algorithms and some other rules engines and some, you know, basic business knowledge and push that data onto you and say, look, inexperienced sales guy, here's what you need to do. You need to go over there and go talk to them. It's that easy.
So, Andrew, is this something that Hadoop, I'm sorry that I'm not smart about Hadoop. Is this something Hadoop helps with?
So what Hadoop is a data platform. So in the past, you would have used a lot more data warehousing technologies. You probably would have thrown a lot more data away. You would have had to have carefully hired guys like me who really understood databases to munge the data into the database when you need it and then send this thing out. But we couldn't have done it real time. What Hadoop is a scalable platform for, you know, when people talk about big data, they're usually talking about Hadoop. Not always, but usually.
Okay.
So it's a big data platform that allows you to sort of pull all this data together. So you've got data in marketing and sales and finance and all these things. And a lot of times the data separately is useful to certain people, but the data together is even more useful.
I get you.
So bringing that together and aggregate. Some of this is just the next generation of data warehousing technologies and shrinking what would be, you know, a $10 million
sure.
MPP system into a, you know, relatively inexpensive sub $200,000 commodity hardware system.
Gotcha. Okay. All
so
right.
How does this translate to what you're doing on a day-in, day-out basis for OS integrators?
So, you know, we're a professional services organization. We mostly do this stuff for other people. In our own organization, you know, we have relatively little data, being a relatively small company, and to some degree, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. But but for us, we have made everything mobile. We've put everything in the cloud. We've pulled our data together and started to be able to analyze where the business is and where it was historically and where we think it's going to be in the future. But our customers have much bigger problems than we do, because they've got more data and they've got more people and,
sure,
you know, lots more money.
Well, it's hard for your potential customers to find someone who's as good at this as you are, because there just aren't that many people who get this.
Right. And not only that, but having sort of the background in these sort of scalable systems, one thing. But the other thing is Hadoop is Java. And so we started out as a Java shop. And wow, if you don't understand Java, then actually tuning Hadoop and getting it the way you need to on your infrastructure may not go as well for you, because it is its own sort of platform.
Gotcha. Interesting. You talk about Hadoop clusters. What is a Hadoop cluster, and how does it financially impact businesses?
Okay, so, you know, first off, what's a cluster? A cluster is just a group of computers acting as one.
Okay.
A Hadoop cluster, you can sort of almost think of it as RAID over the internet. So back in the day, you have RAID drives, so you have,
right,
five hard drives that act as one.
Random,
and if one
access,
dies,
yeah, let's,
yeah,
go back.
Exactly. You have one of them die, then you don't care because it's striped across the others and all that.
Right.
So, but it also gave you a performance advantage in certain circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what if we don't care about drives anymore? We just have blades or,
sure,
computers or whatever, and one of them dies and who cares? But the other thing is, you were doing things with those disk drives. You weren't just storing the data for your health.
Right.
So you were doing things with them and processing that data. What if you could move that processing close to the drive? And so this is where the old SAN technology or whatever gets in the way, but instead we're going to use real hardware, you know, real blade with a real drive. So when I'm asking a question, I'm going to divide the problem up into little pieces and move it close to the disk drive so that the IO pathway is short and sweet, and I get to use as many CPUs and as many disks as possible.
That's going to get done pretty quick.
Yeah, so things happen fast. So a Hadoop cluster is just a group of boxes running Hadoop, and which is named after the guy that invented its kid's toy elephant.
I mean, why would that make total sense?
Okay,
right. Why wouldn't you name it that?
I named mine after my open source project after a Hawaiian dish, but hey, you know,
hey, whatever.
Who can criticize? So one of the great things about Hadoop is we're talking pennies on the dollar for what you're paying for comparable technology, both data warehousing and MPP systems. And in some places, this stuff didn't even exist. And, you know, you can get a small size cluster with, you know, services from us and hardware from Dell and what have you, and get a, you know, really good small size cluster for, you know, well under $100,000, probably closer to $50,000, which, you know, still sounds like a lot of money, but when you consider how much you would pay to get the same kind of capability by trying to scale your RDBMS, your relational database system, or trying to buy, you know, an expensive, you know, bow of cluster type thing, you know, trying to do any of that, you know, older sort of technology stuff, just in the software licensing, you'd pay 10 times
easily
that. Then the hardware, you know, proprietary, you know, take
30 times that. Yeah.
Oracle's Exadata systems and things like that.
Yeah.
So we're talking pennies on the dollar for more capability, and that you can just literally add more boxes if you need to scale
out. It's bigger. Yeah, it's scalable.
Yeah, or take one out. And more than that, you can go on the cloud. So you can actually deploy, you know, Amazon has their own sort of Hadoop service type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually do this on Amazon or your own cloud or on Rackspace. Rackspace is actually doing some really interesting stuff here. And we're talking to those guys and working with those guys quite a bit.
You must be working primarily with the IT groups within the organizations that are your customers. Is that correct?
Yeah, so both sort of IT groups. Some of our first customers were the have-tos and not the want-tos. So, so some of the folks like in the gaming industry and what have you needed some of this technology before everyone did because they already had 8 million users and they already had, you know, tons of data. And when I say 8 million users, I meant 8 million users online right now.
Yes,
rather than,
exactly.
Rather than 8 million users
over the
total
of the entire lifetime of the company.
Once a year,
theoretical people in a place. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 8 million users who signed up, 5 who use it, you know.
Yeah.
No, we're talking 8 million users
online right now
registering today. And those are some of the kind of systems that we've worked on with some pretty big
exciting
companies.
That's exciting, though. I mean, that's cool stuff.
But the person that hires you is generally whom?
So I work with a lot of CTOs and CIOs.
Okay.
I tend to sort of help them sort of understand what all the meeps developers and what have you. I sort of serve as translator because I speak geek and I speak money.
No, you don't speak geek.
A little bit. But I can also speak money.
Yes,
so,
you can do that. Yes, you can do that. So that's really interesting. So they come to you when they're not. Do they often know what their problem is that you're going to solve for them?
Well, you know, we saw a big uptake the year before last where people started not just saying, oh, you know, big data, that's something the tech people are pushing on us because they want to pad their resume, to people coming and saying, you know we want Hadoop or we know we want some big data stuff because I read about it in Harvard Business Review.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when they had a whole issue on that, in like September of the year before last or whatever.
Right. Changed things.
That was sort of a game changer.
Sure.
Yeah, you started seeing business journals and whatever picking this up and saying, okay, here's what you can really do with this. And they did a great thing where they covered the technology, but they also covered the story of, okay, really, what does it do?
What does it do? How's it going to help?
What doesn't it do? Don't give me the vendor junk where you say it does everything. Give me what does it and doesn't it do? And so by doing that, it made a big difference. And so we're seeing a big change between even this year and last year, where last year was a lot of, you know, early sort of kick the bucket kind of thing. And this year it's like, okay, we already did our POC. How do we do a full, you know, rollout? And we're even seeing people who've done their rollout, they've done their infrastructure rollout, and now they're saying, what are my new questions that I want to ask the system? How do I apply this even better?
Good.
What's really cool about doing these business radio things at conferences and what have you is the strange looks people get
as they walk by.
I want to kind of take my camera out and like record them making faces at
us. You really should.
So where can people go to learn more about you guys?
So you can go to our website, osintegrators.com, and you can also check out, we've put out, so what a lot of business people are like, okay, fine, I want Hadoop. How much is that? You know, so we, you know, obviously it depends.
You want to consult a little bit. You want to kind of get to know them and figure out what they need.
Yeah, but, you know, what's a small, medium, and large typically, and what's a cloud implementation typically cost? So you can actually go find straight talk, actual numbers on our website.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, it's like one link off the main page, should be in big bold letters, and
excellent.
Click there and we've got quick start. So basically here's the small, here's the medium, here's the large, here's cloud, here's, you know, the Rackspace, cloud, here's the Amazon cloud. And, you know, what's that going to cost? What are you guys going to charge us for consulting and training and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, we want to make that simple. So upfront pricing on, here's what an initial rollout will cost. Obviously, if we find out you thought you had a small and it really is a large, you know, we'll talk to you and find that out and help you with that. But budgetary numbers, C-level budgetary numbers, what is that? Find it at our website.
Cool. And that's osintegrators.com.
Yes, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-O-R-S, because I did not have a marketing person when I decided to name the company that and did not realize that people can't spell integrators.
I couldn't spell it. I had to look it up.
There you go.
Okay, well, we'll be tweeting at you later there, Mr. A.C. Oliver.
Appreciate it. Thanks again, Ann. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us.
And that's it.
That's
just wrapping it up.
That's
awesome.
A wrap.
Cue the Korean Air business class takeoff and landing music.
All right.
Okay.
I'll see you.
And this is Ann Revell-Petcher and Michael Lauer for Business Radio X. Thanks, and see ya.